2 Corinthians chapter 4 this evening, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, if it is veiled and not clear, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now in the verse that is before us, I do want to deal with the great subject that is in the text, and that is the fact of man's lost condition. In the verse we have very clearly presented to us truth regarding the sinner and his plight. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. As man stands before God, his position is very clearly this. He is in darkness. Because his mind is blinded, man stands in the dark. That is man's native condition. Men and women are used to spiritual darkness. Now, I'm not talking about mental darkness. Men have made tremendous progress. And there are things that we will be dealing with tonight, and they are truths that you would recognize. And if I asked you, many in the meeting tonight, to respond to questions about these truths, you would know the answer. It is not a question tonight that we are talking about mental darkness or even a lack of information on the part of many, but rather the truth is this. Spiritually speaking, man is in darkness. And so the truth that we are presenting regarding man's position is simply this. Man is blinded regarding spiritual truth. All a man's efforts will not change that fact. He may go to church 8 days a week if he could find them. It will not change the fact that he is blinded in the darkness. Man may attempt to read the Bible every day, and what a noble occupation that is. But after all, man is still in darkness, and as far as divine truth is concerned, man is unable to perceive it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Man is found in a spiritual condition, having his mind blinded as far as truth from God is concerned. But not only that, add on top of that this solemn fact that man is deceived. It is the God of this world who has blinded the minds of men. We are living in a world tonight now. It's not a matter of paranoia that we are presenting this truth. It is simply a truth presented in the Word of God. We are living in the world, in a world that is arranged by the master deceiver. We are living in a world in which deception is the way in which men normally think. And truth is a stranger to man's thinking. Now, I'm not interested in giving political lectures or taking political positions, but I think you'll follow me if I illustrate what I'm saying in this way. That we recognize there are nations in our world in which propaganda is really the right name for news agency. They are spreading a tainted version of truth. They are convincing the people of the value of their political system. And they are convincing people that while the Western world, for example, has economic prosperity and all of that kind of thing, it's really decadent. And people are really not happy with that. This way of life is better, and really we are far better off, and we are doing very well. Our system is working fine. And don't worry about the temporary problems. Everything is going well. So that if you talk to the man in the street in such places, you would hardly believe at times that he is talking about the same thing you're talking about. Because his whole society is arranged to warp his thinking. Spiritually speaking, our whole world is arranged to warp man's thinking. There is a God. What a strong word that is that's used. There is a God of this world. He has tremendous power. Thank God he is not God, the infinite, the almighty, but he is God of this world. And he has tremendous power to keep men in the dark and to keep men going along and thinking all is well. Keep men occupied with little things that will distract them from eternal things. And the more men are distracted from thinking about eternity, the happier they think they are. And men think themselves to be liberated if they never have a qualm of conscience about their sin. They are deceived. And the devil's business is to keep men going on with a totally wrong view of sin as they really are. Not only is that so, but you see, you can't blame this whole thing on Adam by nature, and you can't blame the whole thing on the devil in deception. Because the text tells us that at the heart of this whole thing is this problem that man is in disobedience. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Men are as they are because they have not come to terms with what God says. That is man's plight as he is painted in the Word of God. Dear soul, this evening, what I would like to impress on you is this. There is absolutely no possibility of your seeing things straight if you do not bow to the truth of the Word of God. There is absolutely no vehicle of truth apart from the revelation of God. You would never know things as they really are if God did not reveal them in His Word. You would never know what it means to be a sinner if God did not tell you from His Word. You would never know really clearly what God calls sin in all its extent if it were not for the revelation of God by His Word and the conscience of man that agrees. You would never know that there is a heaven. You would never know there is a hell were it not for the fact that God has revealed it in His Word. Who would ever dream in 1986 that there is a way of salvation provided by God the Son, giving His life at Calvary? You would never know that if it were not that God has said it in His Word. And you would never know that the work of Christ is enough for salvation if God had never said it in His Word. You see, what I am trying to drive at is this. As long as men put something else before the Word of God, they are going to remain deceived. They are going to remain in the dark. Until a man or woman is willing to put away his own thinking and put away his own ideas and his own understanding of things and his own bias as he looks at truth, he will absolutely remain in the dark, blinded, deceived. Because the only way of knowing divine truth is from the Word of God. Now that's a pretty sweeping statement. Thank God for men of great minds that have given us philosophical ideas. Now, I don't know all the philosophical ideas of men, but I'll tell you what. It wouldn't be hard to sort them all out. If what they say agrees with this book, it's right. And if what they say does not agree with this book, it's not right. There is absolutely no other way of knowing truth but through the Word of God. And you see, men and women are going on as they are tonight in this meeting. This will be it. That's a word we use to talk about children being disobedient. And that's a word that God uses to describe all the children of Adam. Children or sons of disobedience. Every one of them is tarred with the same stick. Every one of them operates with the same prejudice against God and prejudice toward his own thinking. And man is absolutely self-willed and contrary to God in his thinking by his disposition. There is man's position as he stands before God. Then let me describe to you man's problem in light of all of that. Put it into one word of four letters in our language, L-O-S-T, lost. If men close their eyes to the truth of God's Word, who believe not, who refuse to accept the truth of God's Word, if men go on without the truth of God's Word, they are L-O-S-T,
lost. Absolutely lost.
In all that that word implies, the chapter of lost things in our Bible is Luke chapter 15. And the great truth of Luke chapter 15 is applied to men and women very definitely. I'm sure you will remember that there are three parts to the parable of Luke chapter 15. There is the story about the lost sheep. There's a story about the lost coin. And there's a story about the lost son, the prodigal son.
There's also in that story another lost son as well, but he didn't know it.
But in those three stories, I want to emphasize for you tonight just exactly, best as I can, what God means by being lost. When God is speaking about the sinner and his plight, he is lost as far as God is concerned. What it means as I look at that coin is that man is lost by nature. It almost seems too simple to have to emphasize. Here's the coin. I think I have one here. Here's the coin. Away over in the darkness of the dust in the far corner of the house. Somewhere. Does that coin have any capability of finding itself? Does that coin have any capability, by the very nature of what it is itself, does it have any capability of changing the situation in which it is found? You see, that coin is absolutely at the mercy of some outside force to act upon it that it might be found.
You mean to say that that's what God means by it by saying that men are lost?
That man, by the very nature of what he is absolutely incapable of altering his spiritual condition. That if there is not some outside power that operates on man as he is, he will never be found. That is exactly what I am trying to convey to you tonight. You have absolutely no ability, by training yourself with education, by trying to constrain your nature, by trying to learn the truth of God's Word, by devoting yourself to humanitarian concerns, by reading the Word of God, by praying, by church membership, by 10,000 things. You have no capability by nature of altering this great fact that God says about you.
Them that are lost by nature.
When I look at that lost sheep, there's something about that lost sheep that tells me what it means that man is lost. Two things about the sheep are this. That if you put sheep, you tell me, if you put sheep in a place where there's a hole in the fence, they might miss an awful lot of other things, but they won't miss the hole in the fence. They'll all find it. The very nature of what sheep are is they are wanderers. They seem bent on getting lost. That's just their natural disposition. So that not only is it like a coin, because that wouldn't present to us anything about the choice of the coin itself, incapable of changing its position, but you see, man is lost by his own choices. Man is inevitably wandering away from God. And while we read about homing pigeons, and while we know some things about dogs that have been taken away over many miles and they eventually make their way home, that's not built into sheep. The longer the sheep goes, the further it will get, totally incapable of reversing its own course. That is exactly the way man is described by God when in this one little phrase, them that are lost. Not only by nature, but by choice. Man is lost. And all the choices that men make on their own power are only going to take them further and further and further into the distance away from God. Your condition before God tonight, very bluntly stated, is this. It is absolutely hopeless of ever finding God, of ever being right with God, of ever finding the way to heaven, absolutely hopeless, apart from divine intervention. When I look at that lost son, there are many other things that I could think about him, but I just want to say this. That lost son was lost by decree. And what I mean is this.
While we read about those other two being lost, we do not read anything about this boy being lost, but his father says, this my son was lost. Now the boy down in the far country knew his way around, and the longer he was down there, the longer he knew his way around. The better he knew his way around. And if you'd asked that boy where he was, I'm in the far country, I'm miles away from my father's house, I know exactly where I am. But if you ask the father where that boy was, the father says the boy is lost. But I want to tell you tonight, your soul, you may feel you know your way to heaven. You may feel that you have everything under control. You may feel that in this matter of getting God's salvation, there are one or two things that you haven't tried yet, but you're certain that you'll be able to find what those one or two things are, and you'll be able to eventually grope around and put your finger on the key, and some way or other, eventually, some way, somehow, you are going to get God's salvation. I preached with a beloved gentleman one time that told the people, I think he must have told them this off. He says, there's two ways to find out that you're lost. One way is to believe God. And the other way is by bitter experience. What I am trying to get souls in the meeting tonight to do is to listen to what God says. This my son was lost. God says I'm lost. And if God says that it's true, I am absolutely, totally helpless, incapable. I cannot find my way. I am in the dark. And 10,000 years of opportunity would not change this fact. Dear soul, you could go through a lifetime trying to find the way and turning every key and making every attempt and doing all that is possible. I want to save you years of trying in a lifetime by telling you tonight, God says you're lost. And you cannot, by your best efforts, you cannot find the way to heaven. You cannot take yourself through the pearly gates of yonder city of glory. You cannot do that. Man is lost. I have thought that there is no stronger term that expresses man's plight than this word. Lost. And God says tonight that the shoe fits your foot. Lost. I want you to notice in this text as well, there is the serpent that is involved, not just the sinner. And in the text, there is a reminder of the power of this serpent, that old serpent, the devil. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Let me just take you in mind for a moment back on Luke chapter 15. Now, Luke chapter 15 is a very dismal picture of humanity. But there's a dimension in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verses that we have read. There is a dimension that makes Luke chapter 15 worse, if that's possible. Because Luke chapter 15 does not tell me that while that sheep is out there lost, there is a demonic power that is leading that sheep further and further and further away. That's the truth of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That all the days of your life, unknown to you, and while you've been laughing up your sleeve about the devil, that's on the Underwood Ham, the containers there with his pitchfork and his tail and all that kind of thing, and making light of the fact of the reality of them, all the time, there has been a devil that has been leading you along, taking you further and further, alluring you with little tidbits of poison. And his business is just keep you going. Keep him further. Remove them farther away. That's the work of the devil. Do you not see what I am painting tonight? A sinister picture. Another dimension that is not given in Luke chapter 15. It is the truth of man's lost condition amplified. It is not only of the fact that the evil one is interested in keeping man in the dark and drawing men away from the shepherd. But he is all involved in keeping men occupied in the far country. Keep busy. Give him a good job. Make sure he makes enough money to keep happy at it. And then when things kind of turn down, just keep him going. Keep him on the run. Keep him on the move.
Don't let him come to himself. Don't ever let him come to face that after all I've got nothing and life is one empty frustration and I have nothing with which to meet God. No, no, keep him occupied.
And there are some in the meeting tonight. The gray hairs in your head tell us that you've been on the road longer than I have. And the God of this world has kept you occupied all those years. Lost. The God of this world is doing everything to keep you from coming to the place where the prodigal son came when he finally took a straight look at life. For the first time he saw things as they really were and he says, I'm perishing with hunger. This is madness.
Why should I live like this when there is bread enough and to spare? I want to know tonight, dear soul, in light of the joy that the Christians have and we've been singing about tonight, and I want to tell you, it's a blessed thing to have. In light of that, why live second class? Why is it that men who know what it is to have, as they read it on the faces of loved ones, they've got God's salvation. Man, they've got peace, they've got the best in this life, and they've got the only thing for the next life. Can there be any other explanation why people live like that? And they know that there is the blessing of salvation, and they live without it. Can there be any other explanation? But that there is the sinister power of the evil one that keeps them going. He won't be keeping you going the first second after death. For the first time it will dawn upon you that all you lived for was emptiness. And that all it brought you to was eternal judgment. But if only the devil can keep you going, so that you never come to face, I've sinned against God, I'm perishing. There's something better, and I'm turning now, and I'm going in for what is better. I'm going in for God's salvation. He's kept you busy until that moment has passed you forever, and there'll never be the possibility of your knowing what it is to have the joy of God's salvation. Oh, the tremendously sinister power of the evil one. The God of this world who has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And I want to tell you tonight, thank God there's a third person in this text. He is the Savior, and I want you to see this presentation as it is before us tonight. The illustration is given to us in this text of light dawning. And if we had read further down in the chapter, it is the God that commanded light to shine out of darkness. The God of creation is the God of the new creation. There's the parallel that is established. And just as it was there, there was a triune God that was involved in creation. Spirit, Father, and Son, all involved. Spirit, Father, and Son are all intensely interested in this great matter of your salvation tonight as well. And when salvation is received, it is received as a revelation from God. Do you not see the very beginning of Genesis chapter 1, we still believe that. Do you not see that the very beginning of the work in Genesis chapter 1 is expressed in this word, let there be light. And what the devil is interested in doing, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is keep men in the dark, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should dawn upon them. That's what salvation is. When light dawns upon the soul, not a blue light, not some kind of spectacular visible light, but it's the truth that we sing in the hymn, at the cross, where I first saw the light. I saw the light. I didn't see any visible flashing. I saw the light in this sense. I saw the truth from Calvary. Oh, I can tell you the moment when it dawned on me, in all my darkness, lost, and bound for eternal judgment, it dawned upon me, oh how sweet was the dawning of that light. It dawned on me that God had laid all my sins on the Lord Jesus and I would never have to be in hell. It was just the dawning of a moment. Quicker than I can tell you. Truth that I had read all my life, if you asked me if I knew it, I would have told you I knew it. The truth dawned on me. He died for me. And that is my passport to glory. At the cross where I first saw the light. and the burden of my sin rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight.
Thank God it's true. It's still true. Now I am happy all the day. Dear soul, tonight God is interested in dawning light into that soul of yours. Salvation for all the methods that men have devised is still a revelation from God. Back in Genesis chapter 1, how did light dawn? God said, let there be light.
For every person in the meeting tonight that has ever can look back to that moment when the light dawned,
we will all look back to this, the light dawned by the Word of God. Light does not dawn by feelings. Light does not dawn by emotions. Light dawns by the Word of God. God's salvation tonight is conveyed by one means and one alone. You will be blind and in the dark and in the darkness of eternal fire, unless the Word of God brings the light of truth to your soul. Tonight, dear soul, God has said that Christ died for the ungodly. If you would for the first time take what God says, light would dawn upon your soul.
If you would cease your own trying to make it true and trying to make it make sense, and just take what God has said,
you would be sitting on a seat tonight with this assurance.
He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed.
God says it. That is the word from God, dear soul, tonight. You need nothing more than God's word. You can absolutely contribute nothing, lost.
But God grant tonight there might be light that dawn upon your soul, truth regarding Calvary,
from the only source of divine light, from the Word of God. God grant tonight you may take what God says about Christ and be saved for eternity.